connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll be talking about an issue today that's rarely discussed. Most Christians won't even mention it. And most of the news media will not give you a balanced view of it. We're talking about anti-Semitism. And with that question about anti-Semitism, how should Christians respond? What should be the response of the conservative, the Christian today? How should we respond to what we see? For lack of a better term, it's called Jew hate. Jew hate. It wasn't until the early portion of the 19th century that the word anti-Semitic or Semitism came into play. And so with the anti-Semitism, the anti-Jew, the Jew hate, how should we respond? We're going to talk about the origins of the Jew hate. We're going to talk about what the Bible says. What does the Word of God say? What are the instances that we find in the Scripture? And we can't cover them all because time won't allow it. But we'll touch on some of the instances in the absolute Scripture in relationship to what we see as Jewish hatred, anti-Semitism. And does it apply today? Does the reality of what we see taking place on the colleges and the universities with the mantra that says, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free? You know what that's saying? That's saying eradicate the Jew, destroy the Jew, in some way annihilate the Jewish people and allow the Islamic jihadists to control. Ladies and gentlemen, our world, our nation, our cities are witnessing very serious increase in Jew hatred. The modern term is anti-Semitism. We are seeing our colleges and our universities that's rife with the anti-Semitic mindset, the hatred of the Jewish people. When the call goes out from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, they're saying destroy Israel, destroy the Jewish people. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, and we'll get to it in the broadcast today. When you look at God's covenant with Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 13, Genesis chapter 17, God's covenant with Abraham has not been abridged. It has not been modified. It has not been nullified. It's still active and real today. And as a result of that, we're witnessing the demonic, satanic battle against God and God's people, the apple of God's eye. And so as we talk about that today, that's the issue that we need to cover. It's an issue that you do not hear from the pulpits. It's an issue that you do not hear from the mouths of Christians. It's the issue today that certainly is not properly addressed and or covered in the Communist Network news on any of the channels that you turn on. So I believe it is relevant. I believe that it is imperative. I believe that it's important today for us to understand anti-Semitism, its source, it's broad reach. It is something that is demonic and devilish, and we need to face it and talk about what we need to do as Christians today. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. made this statement, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made, ladies and gentlemen, about the veracity of the Word of God, the trustworthiness of the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." So you can bifurcate it all you like. You can try to modify it or change it if you will, but it does not change the fact that the Word of God is the source book of truth. Psalms 117 verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And yet it was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we need to understand that is relevant and true and real even today. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what party you're from, doesn't matter what denomination you are in, the dogma and the philosophical rhetoric and the political, if you please, expertise does not modify, change, or eradicate the fact that the Word of God stands. It's truth. Yet we have some pretty good statements from people like the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He makes a statement in part, these words, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful statement. And that's the core, that's the centrality of what we'll be talking about today. Yet we have the modern younger culture that says there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennials, for the most part, you may be a millennial listening today, and it does not apply. But for the most part, the millennials make this statement, according to the headline I'm looking at. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In the article, it states that the latest research shows that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You can't take truth and bifurcate it and get truth. I've always said a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to believe simply the Word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Now, you go back and study the life of Jan Hus, his theology and his doctrine, there are a number of things that he and I would disagree on today. But one of the most powerful things that he said, I believe, says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we'll love the truth, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand for it. And that's what I challenge you to do each time we come on the air with the broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, is to challenge you, our listener, to be faithful, seeking the truth, listening to it, learning it, loving it, telling it, living it, and defending it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. In just a moment, after we do a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call. What is the limit, if you will? Limit our conversation today to anti-Semitism. What is it? It's Jew hate. Where do you see that? What is the cause of it? What is the answer for it? How should conservatives and Christians respond to it? That's the focus for Let's Face the Issues today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that talks about that. Let me introduce it for that. And then we have Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps with us today. We're going to bound this about and talk about it and let you call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. This article reads, "The Existence of Anti-Semitism in the Ostensibly Christian Culture of Europe in the Last Two Millennia is Among the Saddest Facts of Christian History. The earlier followers of Jesus were Jewish, but as the faith spread much more rapidly among Gentiles in the first four centuries, Gentile believers in Jesus began to import the anti-Judaism of the borders and pagan culture into the church, and it stuck. This led to many injustices and atrocities in the following centuries down to the very present day in which we're living in." This writer says, "Sadly, anti-Semitism is on the rise again in the Western culture, even today. A recent Pew Research study found that three-quarters of Jewish Americans feel, quote, there is more anti-Semitism in the U.S. today than there was 5 years ago. And yet, when we open the Hebrew Scriptures, it's clear that God loves Israel." Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture says in Zechariah 2:8, that Israel is the apple of God's eye. So how do we respond to it? How do we identify anti-Semitism? Do you find that in the culture today? How should Christians respond to the Jewish people and the anti-Semitic wave that's hitting America and the world today? I can recall back a number of years ago, we had a lady in our church. She's no longer with us. I have not heard from her in probably 20 years. But she hated the Jewish people. And I said on one occasion, on a Wednesday night Bible study, that we cannot do that. We need to understand that Israel, the Jewish people, is the apple of God's eye. God's chosen them as His chosen people. They are His elect of the Old Testament. And the nation is blessed as we bless Israel, the Jewish people, according to the Scripture. So therefore, we're going to talk about that today. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. Let me hear a word or two from you. We don't need to get into the nuts and bolts of the subject today, but just simply speak to our listeners and what we want to accomplish today in this broadcast. Dr. Phelps, share with us for a moment.
I like what you just said, that God blesses America because we bless Israel. Mm-hmm. If we do not continue to bless Israel, then God will not bless America. I believe this on the authority of all of the Scriptures. Everywhere I read in the Scriptures, I find that a nation that respects Israel, God will respect that nation. And God has blessed many nations for that reason. But God has also brought some of His reproach or His a reward or His punishment upon nations that have turned away from Israel and become the enemy of Israel.
Absolutely. Well stated. Dr. Davis, thank you for taking your journey from Folkestone, Georgia, to be with us this morning. We're always delighted to have you with us. Speak to our listeners today for just a moment.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, again, I thank God for being here on today and the subject as well. When we consider what anti-Semitism really is, the violence, the hatred, the discrimination, so forth and so on, against Jews and Jewish institutions simply because they are Jewish, I think that can be traced all the way back to the book of Genesis, mm-hmm. chapter 6, where the wickedness of men only increased continually. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're at today. It seems to be so far out of hand. But I think a lot of this is due in part to the misinformation, the misconception, and the misunderstanding by all people, but especially here in the church, when we look at the church today, it comes from a poor understanding of Scripture, of actually who God's people are. So if we understand who they are and how they are connected to the Christians through the faith of Father Abraham, then we will begin to support them the more through a better understanding of who they really are as God's people.
Amen. Well, Dr. Davis, you touched what you said, touched on a thought in my mind. Our Bible is a Jewish book. All of the writers in the Scripture were Jewish, with the exception of one. Jewish book today, the Christian Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It's a Jewish book written by Jewish men as they were born by the Holy Spirit. God gave them the words. They wrote it. So as we study the Bible, we're studying a Jewish book. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, I tell you, this is so crazy. I'm glad we got a president that said, hey, this, that, and the other, and if you got anti-Semitism, and I think it was, Harvard, I think, and they have, like, a boyfriend to compete against a girl, and it was a place in Texas, I believe, California. Look, God's word says what God's word says. And how you going to hate, if you're a Christian, how you going to hate the Jews? And Jesus was a Jew.
You're exactly right, Kenneth. If we say that if an individual says they hate Jews, they're saying, I hate Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. and that's the reason I touched on it a moment ago. We're dealing with a Jewish Bible. It is the Word of God. God gave us the Word. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As He spoke, holy men of old wrote, and we have the results of that today. And all of the authors of the Bible, the 40 different authors, one of them, only one, was a Gentile writer. All of the others were Jewish writers. So, Kenneth, we need to understand what we see taking place today. If I can jump right through the hoops and get to the final analysis, we're witnessing the Jew hate, the anti-Semitism today in America, which is a demonic, satanic move to try to destroy the apple of God's eye.
Yeah, we see Satan.
That's right. Absolutely. Well stated and on point. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm just saying we see Satan coming in, especially with AI. Lord have mercy. I was like, oh, man, AI coming into existence? And they got AI, I think, in Japan that handles business at banks and stuff. And they making AI for raising up little kids, like a babysitter. Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's sad. Well, and I can see AI.
We're witnessing these last days the attempt to undermine and tear down and destroy what God is wanting to build up and do in the hearts and lives of individuals. And so it is my prayer and my suggestion that as we see what is happening, that we stand on the truth of the Word of God and allow God's Word to be prevalent in our lives. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. We're delighted to have you, and we need to recognize today that the battle is not ours. The battle is God's. We need to stand for truth. We need to allow the truth of the Word of God to stand as only it can, and it can only stand if we are willing to say, this is what the Word says, this is where I stand, and this is what I'm going to do. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, with that telephone number, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, what do you say in relationship to anti-Semitism? Where did it originate in the Scripture?
That originated, I believe, in the time of Jacob and Esau. In the book of Genesis, chapter 27, we have the conflict between these two men in the family of Isaac, Genesis and chapter 27. The Bible tells us that Jacob wanted the birthright, and he didn't always seek for it in the right manner, but he knew something good when he saw it, so we have to give him credit for that. Esau was the oldest, mm-hmm. and the birthright was supposed to be his.
Right.
But the Bible indicates to us that Esau despised the birthright. So there's something going on between these two at a time when Esau was very hungry. Jacob allowed him to have some of his soup that he prepared. And Jacob took advantage of that and asked for him to give him his birthright. And so that's what took place. But the Bible tells us as a result of this trick that Jacob played upon Esau, that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing that father Isaac had given him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words that Esau spoke were told to their mother, and she made some arrangements for Jacob to leave and go back to her home place and there to get a wife for him. Now, Rebekah told Isaac, let's send Jacob back home so he can have a wife. We don't want him to have a wife of these people around us, these Canaanites. And so they arranged for Jacob to leave, and Jacob went to a place called Haran, and there he met his wife, and that's where his family began. But it all began with these two sons, and that Esau nature we find was present in many places throughout the rest of the scriptures, especially with the Jewish leaders, mm-hmm. who for envy delivered Jesus up to be crucified because they envied him because of the many disciples that were following him, and they thought something's going to happen to them. They'd lose their place of prominence, and they'd lose their respectability, and so they hated Jesus, turned him over to Pilate to be crucified. So I would suggest that that was one of the places where we see the beginning of this matter of anti-Semitism.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, when we go back to the scripture and we find during the days that the Egyptians were in control and they were told when a baby boy is being born, what were they supposed to do? The midwives, how were they supposed to treat that? How were they supposed to treat a baby Jewish boy being born? That's a good illustration of anti-Semitism in the scripture. It was not called that. Speak to that a minute.
Well, you know, I thank God that the midwives feared God more than they feared
Amen.
The king.
That's right.
And they formed that allegiance, you know, and I thank God for even today, people that will stand on the word of God. Mm-hmm. And I hear you say all the time, and this is more or less a plea to Christians today, to stand up, speak up.
Amen.
You know, this is the time for us to do that. Now, if we consider Scripture, let's make sure we study Scripture in context and understand exactly what it says. And I see you drive that hard so much.
Amen.
Even at this institution.
That's right.
Context, and you say it five times.
That's right.
For a reason.
For a reason.
And I said, you know, to myself, I said, man, why is this man trying to drive this point home so much? Mm-hmm. But as I remained here at CTU, I understood what your reasoning was behind that.
Amen.
And I say, I thank God for you, and I appreciate you and Dr. Phelps for what you have poured into my life today to help me to get a much better understanding. I've always studied Scripture, but as I began to get more informed and sit under the tutelage of both of you, I began to understand even more about the Scripture. So see, what we need to go, where I'm going at, with this. The point is that Christians truly need to understand what Scripture says about the Egyptians and about the Jews. Now, when we look at Hagar, she was an Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And we look at Sarah, one was a free woman and the other was a bondwoman. Here's what the book of Galatians says, Galatians 4 and 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Now, when Ishmael was born, Sarah told Abraham, put him out. Mm-hmm. Send him and his mother out. And they did. They went out into the wilderness, but yet God still supernaturally provided for them. That's Scripture.
Right.
So this lets us know today, now, when we see the conflict that's going on in the Middle East right now, how the Jews and the Israelites are still, the Jews and the Arabs are still fighting today and stay in a contentious battle with one another. If they go back to the Scripture and understand what it really says, they're truly brothers. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't be feuding.
Have brothers feuding. It's a battle between the two brothers.
Amen. But we look at it, sin is the root cause of the whole thing altogether when we trace it back to Genesis chapter 6. But then the devil is the instigator. Mm-hmm. So Christians need to wake up today and understand that if all of this is happening against the Jews, somehow it's going to reverberate into the church because it's going to come down to us as Christians. Why? Because we have the same faith. As faithful father Abraham, God built the household of faith, but Abraham established the household of faith. And I'm going to go down into that right now.
Said in Genesis 15:8, he believed God and God counted it unto him as righteousness.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
Exactly the faith of our father Abraham.
So that's why I say it's good for Christians to have that full understanding of the Scripture, so we'll know that we need to stand with the Jews.
Yes.
No matter what. They are our brothers as well.
Absolutely. One of the things that we find in relationship to the anti-Semitic mindset, I'm looking at an article that's pretty telling. It says, where the world anti-Semitism comes from. Hatred of Jews has been around for centuries, but only the 1800s did it begin to be referred to as anti-Semitism. Hatred of Jews has been the feature of world history for centuries, but in the late 19th century did a new specific word emerge to describe it. Anti-Semitism as a concept and as a movement was a response to the so-called Jewish question, which was itself precipitated by the remarkable economic, culture, and political ascent of the Jews during the 19th century and their entry into the mainstream European life. The bottom line, this writer did a superb job, that prior to that time, the Jewish people were just grubbing out a living. They were just making a meager living. They were basically quiet. They were living in what was called the ghettos. They had nothing. Had very little what the world has to offer. But as they began to thrive, as they began to grow, as they began to produce, as they began to control some of the financial system, they were viewed as being a threat. And so Europe wanted to do something to demean them, to cause them to be cast out as citizens. And as a result of that, they started calling them Semitic people. And the anti-Semitism began to rise up, where there was a hatred and an animus and a rejection out of envy for the Jews. Just as Dr. Phelps said a moment ago, Jesus was crucified, as the king said, as he was standing before Jesus standing before him. I know that they brought you here because of envy. And it's the envy today that brings that about. It is the animus, the hatred, and the rejection by Satan and his demons. In fact, when you look at the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, you find that Israel is hated because it gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a satanic, demonic war that's been going on since the beginning of time against the Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, W